From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. Welcome to this wonderful program we call Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie, and welcome New York, our East Coast flagship station, WOR, Talk Radio 710. More on this in just a moment. Congratulations to Duke, this season's NCAA basketball winners, defeating a fine Butler team 61-59. Next hour, by the way, a journey to truth. Get ready for that. And here's what's happening. Mine safety officials say, tragically, that 12 miners have been killed inside a West Virginia coal mine, leaving the site in a vehicle when an explosion occurred. Kevin Strickland, he's an administrator with the Mine Safety and Health Administration, says two other men on the vehicle were hurt. Strickland says that 10 others are unaccounted for, including two crews of nine workers and a fire boss who had been working alone. The explosion destroyed all communication lines inside the mine. Aftershocks rattled the southwest Mexico-U.S. border on Monday morning in the aftermath of a major earthquake that killed two people, blacked out cities, and forced the evacuation of hospitals and nursing homes. Sunday's 7.2 magnitude quake, centered just south of the U.S. border near Mexicali, was one of the strongest earthquakes to hit the region in decades, shaking at least 20 million people. Geologist Jim Birkeland on the line with us. Jim, have we seen the worst yet from this, or more to come?
I think the worst. This is certainly typical. That area often has a tremendous number of aftershocks, and they've really spread up into the Imperial Valley, which isn't too surprising from a 7.2 shallow like this. And there's not a fairly high probability, there is, I would say, for a quake getting close to six as an aftershock.
Now, this 7.2, Jim, is this the one that we've been talking about over the past several months?
Well, it's not the big one that they're mostly concerned about that might, you know, affect Los Angeles along the San Andreas Fault. This is on a complex of several faults down there in Baja and extending up into the Imperial Valley. And it's not even, it's a dip-slip fault, not even a strike-slip fault like the San Andreas. So it's quite complicated, and it's interesting. I just got a little memo from Stan Friedman, who's going to be out here in a couple of weeks visiting us. And he said, Jim, I don't can't substantiate this, but at least it's interesting that this epicenter was right in the Cerro Prieto geothermal field, where they've been pumping water down into the groundwater to increase the production.
And you have always said when you do things like that, you could cause earthquakes. Interesting. Jim's website, by the way, is part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. In Pakistan, Islamist militants attacked a U.S. consulate in northwest Pakistan with car bombs and grenades, killing three people hours after 41 people died in a suicide attack on a political rally elsewhere in the region. Now, these assaults illustrate the resilience of militants in the country despite intense army operations and U.S. missile strikes in the northwestern havens near Afghanistan. The Obama administration is poised to adopt a new policy restricting the nation's use of nuclear arms and hopes to persuade Russia to agree to mutual cuts in nuke arsenals that go beyond the arms treaty both sides will sign this week. In an interview with the New York Times, President Obama said his administration was explicitly committing not to use nuclear weapons against non-nuclear states that are in compliance with the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, even if they attack the United States with biological or chemical weapons. Those threats, he told the newspaper, could be deterred with a series of graded options, a combination of old and newly designed conventional weapons. Problem with this, it's sort of like telling a criminal, look, I've got a gun, but I'm not going to use it if you break in. I'm just going to chase you around with a baseball bat. This might not be a good decision. A Qantas passenger had to be restrained by flight stewards after he threatened to bring down the plane with the power of his mind. The man, believed to be under the influence of drugs and alcohol, was said to be delusional and threatening to use the power of his mind to bring the plane down. The stewards on the flight from Sydney to Singapore handcuffed the man's arms and legs for the rest of the flight. Space Shuttle Discovery launched early Monday to deliver spare parts and science experiments to the International Space Station. Discovery, with its crew of seven astronauts, is carrying supplies and science equipment for the International Space Station's laboratories. The 13-day mission includes three planned spacewalks, replacing an ammonia tank assembly and retrieving a Japanese experiment from the station's exterior. Extended unemployment benefits temporarily expired for thousands of Americans because the Senate went on its spring recess without approving a one-month deadline extension. The extension, which has bipartisan support, would have cost $10 billion. Gerald Celente will join us in a moment as we talk about this and some other trends that affect you and your wallet. Apple said that it has sold 300,000 iPads in the United States on the first day the highly anticipated tablet device was available in stores. The company also said iPad users downloaded over 1 million apps from Apple's App Store and over 250,000 e-books from its iBookstore during the very first day. A bedridden multiple sclerosis sufferer from the United Kingdom is back on her feet after she was stung by bees 1,500 times. She's a charity worker. It is called the Revolutionary Bee Venom Therapy. It helped her overcome the condition. The treatment involves holding a bee in a pair of tweezers and deliberately stinging an area of skin on the patient's body. 1,500 bee stings. Now, a long time ago, way before there was Larry King and way before there was Art Bell, there was a fellow by the name of John Zimmerman who went by the air name of Long John Debbel. He was a very influential New York talk show host, and he was at our affiliate, WOR. He entertained, he mesmerized millions of people in New York and along the East Coast for years. He was one of the first to deal with anomalous phenomena, UFOs, and other strange topics. As a matter of fact, once he had a chance to interview George Adamski, he was one of the first who talked about being picked up in a spaceship. Listen to Long John Debbel.
Then on November 20th of that year, amateur astronomer George Adamski saw a saucer land, and he met the pilot, a Venusian. This is George's description.
A man was up there and waving to me. So I come up to this fella, and he had a funny suit on him, sort of a ski-type suit. And I thought it was one piece. Well, later, I have learned it's two pieces.
George Adamski, I wonder if you could describe this man in detail to us.
Yeah, a man about 5'7" to 8" inches, and I would say around 135 pounds of quite delicate hands, tapered fingers, and beautiful, very sharp eyes, looked like they looked right through you. Sometimes you couldn't hardly tell whether he was really a man or a woman. And the long hair waving, resting on his shoulders, he kind of a halfway smile, and put his hand out to shake. And it was a palm-to-palm contact anyway, and he smiled. He started telling me things, and I couldn't understand. And I finally got the idea, I want to know where he's from. I pointed to the sun, and I made one orbit, called it Mercury, named it, and then Venus, and then Earth, and pointed on myself in New York. And then I said, where are you from? He got the idea. He finally pointed to the sun, and he made one orbit, didn't say nothing. He made a second orbit, and he pointed to himself and to that orbit. Then that meant Venus. That's how I knew he was Venetian.
But he couldn't talk to you.
He could talk. He was testing my ability of receiving impressions, he told me later. So he did understand everything I said, except I didn't understand.
When you say impressions, are you referring to telepathic communication?
That's correct. All information we receive silently.
George, if you were a little doubtful, did he tell you that he was a man?
He did. But even then, I was a little bit doubtful. But you know, when nature calls, the nature calls.
Long John Neville died 2 months short of his 67th birthday. He died in 1978. When he did die, he had massive, huge ratings. His longtime producer, Paris Flamung, is with us right now. Paris, that's got to bring you back some memories listening to that clip, huh?
Oh, yes. I knew George very well. We had him on, I would say, no fewer than 16 or 18 times, along with the other famous George contactees, George Van Tassel and George King from England. The remaining ones of importance were Orfeo Angelucci, who was told absolutely phenomenal, fairy tale like expositions of his adventures in outer space. And the only one from the East Coast was Howard Menger from Highbridge, New Jersey.
Paris,
all of them were West Coast people in those days.
What was it like working with Long John Neville? Here's a guy who was creative way before most radio hosts would think about things like that.
Well, John, of course, invented the entire outre area of broadcasting, and he had was not a network personality. He was a syndicated later on, but in the early days, he had a coverage of WOR in those days was 50,000 watts. I guess it probably still is.
Still is.
And
sure.
He reached what was generally advertised as 27 states. Although was a certain skip phenomena, he sometimes was picked up by Arch Obler, the old radio man out in Arizona, from some sort of atmospheric peculiarities.
He developed something that nobody thought would be successful, and then you teamed up with him as his producer. It must have been just some incredible moments for both of you.
Well, it was for me because I was in isolation in those days. I had lived for years in Greenwich Village, and for reasons that need not go into, I was living alone and almost without contact with anybody when I got a telephone call from his office asking if I would appear because I had sent a postcard correcting an illiteracy by one of his pals. And that was the kind of mood I was in. And he had his coordinator, David Field, call and ask if I would come up and be a guest on the show. And I said, absolutely not. I didn't guest anywhere these days. Next day, his secretary, Anna Marie Goetz, called and said she didn't understand why I'd refused David, but would she be able to persuade me to come up and do the show? And I said, absolutely not. And that evening, the phone rang again for me, and I picked it up, and what I heard was, "Why in the hell won't you do my goddamn show? This is John." And so he, being the best salesman I ever met, and maybe the best salesman this country has ever produced, talked me into it in about 10 minutes. And
he was one of the best.
Saturday.
Paris, I want to thank you personally for working with Long John Neville, both of you allowing talk show hosts like me to do what we're doing today. Thank you so much.
Well, it was our pleasure. We had a marvelous time and a 25-year run, and I wasn't with them all that time. I was with them only for 5 or 6 years, but it certainly created a entertainment form that had never existed before, and I'm glad that several of you are carrying it on so successfully.
It was quite a ride, I'll tell you that. And we are so honored to be on WOR, the station where Long John Neville made his name. In a moment, Gerald Celente joins us. We're talking about trends and how they affect you on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Gerald Celente with us, founder and director of the Trends Research Institute, today's number one trend analyst. Gerald's with us for the hour, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Gerald, my friend, how are you?
Oh, very good. Thanks for having me on, George.
Oh, my pleasure. Still so many different things going on economically. Stock market pushing 11,000 now, right up there. What's happening? Is this a false feeling, Gerald?
Let's go back to the dot-com boom, how everybody thought things were great back in the late 90s, early 2000, only to have it the bubble burst. Then we went through the real estate and credit crisis boom from 2002 up until 2007, and that burst. This is the bailout bubble. Stimulus money worldwide is dumping into the system. China's put well over $1 trillion in. Look at the problems going on in Europe with Greece. It's the same thing. They've dumped trillions into bailing out the banks. And, of course, the stimulus, what we have in the U.S. with the trillions that have been pumped into the system. Actually, $11 trillion has either been lent, spent, or guaranteed by the U.S. government since the markets collapsed in 2009, in March of 2009. So, yeah, this looks like a recovery to a lot of people. The equity markets are booming because of the money dumped into it. And as long as it looks like that, people are believing that there's a recovery. As we've said over and over again, this is no recovery. It's a stimulus cover-up. And when the stimulus money runs out, the pain is going to be felt. Look at what's going on in the real world. We have the official national debt now stands at $12.68 trillion, almost $13 trillion, an amount that's equal to 88% of the GDP of our economy. It's unsustainable. So we're going to have the bailout bubble burst, and a lot worse is going to happen later on.
Gerald, they're playing around in Congress. It looks like unemployment benefits for some Americans is not going to go through until they get their act together again. Housing still seems to be a mess. When does it stop? When does this false feeling go away and the reality kick back in again?
It's going to go away when states are unable to pay on their debt, just like what's going on with California. You have the total budget deficits of the states right now is approaching $200 billion. They're going to go to Uncle Sam, and there's going to be more bailouts. George, current events form future trends. And as we say at the Trends Research Institute, all things are connected. And look at the headlines of the news that are going on right now, and this will tell you where it's going to end. You just did a report of what's going on in Pakistan, where they just blew up the consulate.
Yeah.
And then it's every day. You could go back day after day after day. They're telling us that the war is being won in Iraq. Here's headlines from April 4th and April 5th. 25 members of prominent Sunni family killed in village near Baghdad. That was on April 4th. Bombing in Baghdad aim at diplomatic locations. That was on April 4th. The Iraqi capital echoed with explosions on Sunday, with three suicide car bombs killing dozens. And then today, police say Shi'i family of six gunned down in Iraq. And then we go back to Pakistan. Oh, and let's not forget Afghanistan with what's going on now with the president of Afghanistan, Karzai, and the blow-up he's having with the United States.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge.
These wars are where the country is going. And when all else fails, we've said this over and over again, they bring us to war. Again, current events form future trends. What a surprise of what's going on in Pakistan. We said it with the top trends of 2010. They were published in After Dark magazine, and we said terrorism 2010 primarily because of what's going on in Pakistan and the U.S. escalating the war. Here's the headline from April 5th, Monday's New York Times. Drones batter Al-Qaeda and allies within Pakistan. Oh, and they're whooping it up about how all these drones, sent out by the CIA, by the way, are killing, quote, suspected terrorists. Oh, and by the way, they're also killing over 1,000 innocent people. You think there's going to be blowback? And this term, suspected suspected terrorists. What do you mean suspected? Are they or aren't they? Are they innocent or are they guilty? These are called extrajudicial killings, and they are against international law.
Gerald, we're going to come right back with you. Phone calls about what's going on economically next on Coast to Coast AM. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls with Gerald Celente in next hour, Journey to Truth, A Guide to Metaphysical Evolution. All that's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We've got Gerald Celente in your phone calls. Oil around $87 a barrel, Gerald. How can this happen? How can it go up when we're supposed to be, you know, dodging a recession?
Again, what we're looking at is global stimulus. China is the engine behind it. They're gobbling up oil. And there is a recovery of sorts. But again, it's artificially stimulated. And let's also not forget that these markets are highly manipulated and they're speculative. And that, you know, there are other reasons why oil prices are going up. And it doesn't have to do with U.S. demand. U.S. demand is down. So the markets are looking for recovery. There's no question about it. We're looking at the Dow approaching 11,000. But we're saying, and we're staking our reputation on it, that this is just another bubble. And this bubble is going to burst. The big burst is going to come out of China. Real estate is way out of control over there. The government is trying to wind back some of its stimulus. And as a matter of fact, just today, Australia raised interest rates trying to cool down their economy. India has raised their interest rates recently, and they have been dumping hundreds of billions of stimulus money as well. So again, this is a false recovery.
All right, to the phones we go, Fresno, California, west of the Rockies. Mike, you're on Coast to Coast with Gerald Celente. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, Gerald and George. I had a quick question. You mentioned Pakistan and wars. You know, according to my beliefs, they that bless Israel will be blessed. Those that curse Israel will be cursed. Do you think our economy is based on how this current administration is treating Israel? And it seems like,
well, don't forget, this started in the Bush administration. You know, the Obama administration picked up the ball and didn't run the right way with it. But, you know, it's been going through a couple administrations, Gerald.
Well, this war, these wars, was the Afghan wars going into its 10th year. The Iraq war, 7 years. It was double the time of World War II. Well over $1 trillion has been spent on both of them. And the Israel issue is very important also to follow. By the way, this whole Spring Trends Journal that's coming out is going to be, we're writing it in the year 2012 and looking back, and we're saying that the great war of the new millennium has begun. And the Israel issue is very important to look at. As we all know, just 2 weeks ago, they were saying, the ambassador to Israel, Michael Oren, the U.S. ambassador, the Israeli ambassador to the United States, said that this was the worst crisis in 25 years. And now he's saying everything is great. He was just quoted on CNN on Sunday saying that. So let's look what happened. Israel announced that they were going to build 1,600 more settlements. And against what the Obama administration and the rest of the world wanted. And it was a big, big to-do. All of a sudden, it's out of the news. And what replaced it? Well, what replaced it immediately was, we have to do something about Iran. And then you had people like Senator Lindsey Graham from Republican of South Carolina talking about a military attack on Iran. And so what we're very concerned about is that these issues, what's going on in Israel, what's going on in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq, and Iran, we're looking at what we're concerned about. When this bailout bubble bursts, they're going to take us to war. They do it all the time. Go through history. The same wise guys in Wall Street that caused the 29 panic. We went through very severe years of recession and depression, and then it went back to war. The cycle is the same. However, this time, it's different. This time, it's world wars of weapons of mass destruction. This isn't, you know, P-42s or whatever. Right. This is the real deal.
And yet this decision now that, you know, I'm not for wars. I spent 9 years in the Navy, Gerald, but what I am for is a strong defense. And, you know, you don't go and tell someone who could use biologicals against you, we won't nuke you. I mean, you just don't do that. I mean, that's like putting your gloves down. The deterrent is having them.
Exactly. And we don't know what's really going on behind the scenes, if this is being done for other reasons, saying that, you know, saying one thing on one end and doing another on the other hand. We're very concerned, George, that there's going to be military action soon in Iran. Everything is leading in that direction. Will it happen? You know, we can't tell, but it really looks as though that's the way things are moving, particularly that they're deflecting attention away from the settlement issue in Israel.
We'll probably find the war plans on the internet, Gerald, huh? Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, east of the Rockies. Steve's with us. Hey, Steve, go ahead.
Hi, good morning, George. Welcome back to New York.
Thank you.
I'd like to know what the future holds for gold.
I'm very bullish on gold, and we're looking at gold 2000. Again, look what's going on in Europe, and look what happened to the euro with the problems with Greece. All of a sudden, the euro lost about, 12% of its value. It was just over a couple of weeks. People were bailing out of the euro and going into the dollar. Well, that's like jumping out of the Titanic and going into the Lusitania. Because when you look at the United States, for example, I said earlier that the official national debt now stands at, you know, almost $13 trillion. When you put in contingent obligations such as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, veterans, and pensions, that's an additional $108 trillion over and above the official national debt. And then you throw in state, county, local governments, add another trillion to that. So we're looking at a devaluation of the currency in some sort. And here's the scenario that we're looking at. Go back to 9/11. We are forecasting a major terror strike, and you're seeing what's going on in Pakistan. It's not going to stop at the borders. Go back to 9/11. What happened was, and I know this firsthand because it happened to me. I lived just north of Ground Zero. I wanted to get away from the area because I didn't know if they were going to hit the Indian Point nuclear power plant on the Hudson River. That's just north of that. And I was going to go to Canada. I'm in Kingston, New York, 4.5 hours from Canada. I called up the bank to get my money out of CDs and have it transferred to my local bank. They told me that they couldn't do it because CDs are financial instruments traded on Wall Street and Wall Street's closed. Oh. How does this get back to gold? If there's a terror strike, if there's war, we believe they're going not only close Wall Street, they're going to close the banks. And you're not going to be able to get all your money out. You'll only get it out in dribs and drabs. And when you do get it out, they'll do what they did when FDR closed the banks, when they called a bank holiday. I love it.
Yes.
Holiday.
Yeah, that sounds like it's supposed to be fun. Exactly. That's not fun. Holidays are supposed to be good times.
Exactly. So what did they do? They made the people sell the gold by law at $20.67 an ounce. When they reopened the banks, and in those days, of course, there was a run on the bank because gold was backed by gold certificates. You could turn your paper in for gold. They re-pegged the price of gold to $35 an ounce. They devalued the currency, and that's what we believe is going to happen one way or another, either through inflation or devaluation. The dollar is not going to be worth the digital paper it's not printed on. That's why we're bullish at gold, and we're looking at gold 2000. This year, we're looking around 1400.
There you go. Salem, Oregon, we go. First time caller. Mike, go ahead, Michael.
Hello, George. Hi. How's it going?
All is well.
You know, you guys, it all started with, you know, an inside job with bringing down the towers, I think. And war's a racket. And they had to get the war going. And now there's no way to stop it. And it's going to go on for a long time. And Obama's got a real mess on his hands trying to deal with this. But I think the Republicans, they just really did it to us. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, first of all, I am not a believer in the inside job theory. I do believe that there is that higher group that were that might have been in on it, that might have known about it. But the so-called inside thing, I don't think it happened like that. Gerald?
Well, I don't know how it happened. You know, I see what it is, and that's the only things that we look at are the results of what happened. And the results are that the United States has not recovered from what happened in 9/11. And again, let's only go back to the facts. When those Twin Towers came down, they began to immediately lower interest rates to 46-year lows. We were already in a recession from the dot-com bubble burst in March of 2000. And that created the bubble when they started lowering interest rates to 46-year lows. Now the interest rates, as we know, are there in year zero. And this is what's inflating the phony bubble right now. As for war, I love that quote by Smedley Butler, the U.S. Marine general who was the most decorated hero, war hero in Marine history up until the time he died in 1940. And he said, quote, "War is a racket. It's always been. It is possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious." And he goes on and on. And then there's that great Cross of Iron speech by Dwight D. Eisenhower, where he talks about the cost of war and how where we spend the money and what we don't get by spending the money in the domestic economy. So we're looking at this, what's going on now. It's perfect empire decline. It's fighting in foreign entanglements and depleting your treasury at a time when you're in severe recession, headed That's toward right. the greatest depression.
It's like punching someone who's against the ropes, Gerald.
It really is. It's taking the economic wind out of this country.
And there are groups out there who have wanted to bring us down to our knees for years, and they never knew how. I think they think they found the formula. Let's go to Mike in Azusa, California, west of the Rockies. I like that city, Mike. Azusa. Go ahead.
Thank you. It's right near Glendora, about 26 miles east of Los Angeles. It's a pleasure to talk to both of you. To me, it's a disgrace, all the money we spend on war. You know, I guess it's profitable. We have young people can't afford their education, health care. I give credit to President Obama to try to change and give us health care to 32 million that don't have health care. And we just don't have a priority for our own people in this country. Homeless veterans, I'm a veteran. I'm not proud being a veteran. We're always looking for the next war. Maybe it'll be Iran. We never get done. And our own country is killing every day, raping and murdering. We put babies in trash cans. We're nothing to be proud of in this country. You know, we're 37th health care in the world and 29th in education. But in violence, we're at the top. And I'm really ashamed of what I see going. Rich and poor as a middle class is just about adios and gone. So it really shames me what's going on.
But you know what, Mike? This is what I'm proud of. I'm proud of the fact that 90% of the Americans are good people. That 90% of the Americans are trying, and they're trying to work. They're trying to support their families. You know, you're talking about a small core of corrupt politicians, criminals, and, you know, thugs who are disrupting the lifestyle of all of ours. And, you know, those are the people that you know, we need to work on. But overall, I think people in this country, Gerald, are good, don't you?
Yes, and people want you watch what happens this April 15th. If you were to tell people, when we put out a top trends for 2007, one of them, and this is, of course, Bush was president, were tax revolts. Who would have thought back then, because people said, oh, you're crazy, this will never happen. Who would have thought then we would see all this tax protests and tea parties? The people do want to change. The government is corrupted. We have a two-headed, one-party system. There is no change. And I agree with you. And even if 20% of the people want positive change, we can have the country that we deserve. And as Mike pointed out, when you look what's going on with the money not going into education, let's look at education for a moment. Kids are getting out of school with what? With in debt. $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, and they don't have jobs. They can't even get a job at Sports Authority, and they have these degrees. Look at the employment. Everyone is applauding. Oh, there's growth in the employment numbers. Oh, yeah, look where the growth is coming from. How about temporary workers and healthcare workers making up the majority? This is a stimulus employment recovery. When the stimulus wears out, the employment continues to go down. We have to create 1.25 million jobs a year just to account for the new people moving in. So these numbers are a lot higher, not only because of the people working part-time that want full-time and the discouraged workers, but they're not adding in. How about all those mom-and-pop businesses, all those construction businesses that people, you know, they're just not making any money? And how about all these kids that are getting out of college that they're not going into the workforce? They're not counted. So this is going to be much more serious than people can see right now.
Do you know how every once in a while there are surveys done about America's best-run companies, America's best-run civic associations and things like that? We should take the heads of all those companies and associations and get them to help run this country, because they obviously know what they're doing.
They don't want anything and anybody running this country. This is the red carpet crowd. These are politicians. Why aren't they passing that bill you were talking about for the unemployed workers? If it was a too big to fail, you think they would have passed it? But no, they're overseas now. They're on these junkets. You look at these secretaries of this and that. They fly to other countries in jet planes big enough to move a whole city in. They roll out the red carpets. They strike up the bands and they march, and they're totally out of touch with the real people. There's a real disconnect between Washington and the people of this country. Keep your eye on this April 15th. It's going to be a telling time to see what kind of tax protests and tea parties take place.
Absolutely.
It's the beginning of the second American Revolution.
Well, I wonder when the last time these folks actually sat down with people, human beings, and asked them, how is it? How's it going for you? I bet they're so out of touch. You're right.
Yeah, they only do it when they do it. It's stage. It's a reality show for them. Look, George, the worst job I ever had in my life, and I'm a guy that grew up in the Bronx, had lousy jobs, was when I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate shortly out of graduate school. And all it was watching grown men grovel, sucking their way up to the top all day long. That's all they do.
Time and time again. What's new on trendsresearch.com?
Well, the big thing is the war coming up, the Great War. The Trends Journal is going to be out in mid-April. And I would say this is the most it's the best one we've ever written. We're very concerned the direction this country is going in. And we know how easily it is to stir up the passions of war. And remember, read my lips, no new taxes. I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. I smoked, but I didn't inhale. Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. They're going to come up with another one, and it'll be as phony as the last ones.
All right. You heard it from Gerald Celente and his website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, he calls himself Xenophon, Journey to Truth on Coast to Coast AM.